appreciating to Brother Wilson. I'm glad to have to you. So we're glad you're here. Brother Smith is down in, do they call it Macon or Macon, Mississippi? Macon. They'd be Macon, Georgia. That would be Macon, Mississippi. He's down there with the pastor, Brother Boyd. So he was so tired. He's always tired when he comes back from doing that mission work over there. I don't know how he does it. I've got so much stuff on my mind, I don't know where we're going to go tonight. But let's see. What else do we have here? It's good to have Brother Wallace here. We've been praying for him. Yes, Sister Linda. All right, both of them. We'll pray for them. Brother Wallace. Okay, we'll pray for Sister Wallace. What else? We might as well go to prayer before we have Bible study with these prayer requests. Continue to pray for the Wilson family. Pray for Brother Smith and Sister Smith. She's down there with them. What else do we have? Chelsea and Bridget, are they sick or? Babyitis. Well, okay, we know how that is. But we'll pray for baby and mama, Sister Rachel. Unspoken prayer request. All right. Well, let's take these prayer requests to the Lord, and we'll just see where the Lord takes us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, for your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you care about us, that you know all of our problems. You know all of our needs, Lord, that you're aware of our situation, Lord, even before we ask and can call out to you. We want to pray for the Wilson family, God, that you would comfort this family, Lord. Help them to feel your love and your care surround them, Lord. Ease their comfort and their pain, God. And for Sister Wallace, Lord, touch her body with this inner ear infection and Sister Rachel's prayer request, her unspoken prayer request. Lord, would you help her on this, Lord, and Sister Bryant and Sister Golden. Touch their bodies, God. Raise them up. Heal them, Jesus. God, for all the needs in the Dominican, Lord. Sister Chelsea and Bridget, God, would you touch them and would you help them, Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. Well, I don't know about you, but Brother Stewart really asked a good question last Wednesday about Babylon. And I had a hard time getting my mind to go that direction, but when I did, it started working in that direction, and I gave a little bit of my testimony of how I was searching for God, and I couldn't find satisfaction, and how I felt like God led me down to Texas, and we met Brother Smith. You've heard my testimony before. And I gave that scripture out of Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, how God will put a hunger and he'll put a desire in you to seek out after him. And I thought, that's such a big subject to talk about Babylon. And what I made reference to Brother Clyde Patton years ago, I still remember this day when he got up. And he wanted to know, he said, brothers and sisters, he said, we've come out of Babylon, which is just false religion. And he said, we've come out of Babylon, but we need to know how much Babylon is still down inside of us. And then they spent hours talking about how much Babylon we still had, how much falseness. You know, in one place, Jesus made a funny statement to his followers. He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." You would think with all of Jesus's warnings, he told them, you know, don't get caught up in lying and don't get caught up in cheating. Don't get caught up in stealing. You know, stay away from this, stay away from that. But he made a really funny statement. He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." If that's all I had to worry about was yeast in a piece of bread, I think I would be long way toward making it to heaven. But he was just simply telling them, leaven is falsehood. In the Bible, you can study it out. It's leaven, of course, the yeast. It will take a piece of bread that's real flat. And they had, the Jews celebrated 2 to 3 times a year the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Passover and some of their other major feasts. They weren't allowed to have leaven or yeast in their bread. It had to be unleavened. It had to be flat bread, just like pancakes. Couldn't be nice and all, what do they call it, risen up, like cornbread or like biscuits, some of these other things. That's because God, in all these feasts and ceremonies that the Jews had every year, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Booths, Passover, all these things, they had to eat unleavened bread because God was trying to show them a picture of heavenly things. Well, yeah, we know that the Feast of Passover, where the children of Israel were in bondage under Pharaoh in Egypt, the Lord had to deliver them. And he did it with a strong hand. He had the 10 plagues over a period of 1 year, the plague of flies, the Nile turning to blood, you know, the frogs. And then the worst one was the firstborn in every household was slain in one night by the death angel. And God told them, he said, "I want you to go and take a lamb, for I'm going to deliver you this night. I'm going to bring you out of Egypt into a land flowing with milk and honey." So they had to, they had no leaven in their houses that night. They took that lamb and they slayed the lamb and they had to roast it with fire. All those things are a picture of the Lord God delivering us out of the world. You know, the sacrifice. We know that Christ was the Passover lamb. Every one of those things that God had the children of Israel do was to show them a natural picture to help us understand spiritual things. When Brother Smith was going through the book of Hebrews, there's two places where it says all those things happened to them for our ensamples and for our instruction. The tabernacle in the wilderness with all of its furniture, the brazen altar, you know, the 7 golden candlesticks, the altar of incense, all the different colors, everything God told Moses up on Mount Sinai. He gave him the 10 commandments graven by the finger of God on a table of stone. And even that is a picture. Even that is a picture of how God will write upon the tables of our heart. And 2 places in the book of Hebrews, he said, he will put his law in our mind and in our hearts will we write it. Everything that happened back there was to help us and help them to see spiritual applications. But God, when he gave Moses the 10 commandments, he told Moses, he said, "Here is the pattern for the tabernacle in the wilderness that you're going to build." He said, "But make sure," he said, "be very careful that you build it according to the instructions that I gave you. It had to be built a certain way, a certain height. The curtains were a certain height. The curtain rings were made out of certain things. The poles that held the curtains up were made out of a certain thing. All the furniture, the lampstand, everything was meticulous. It had to be done a certain way. That's why in the book of John, and we can read it here in a little bit, it talks about Jesus, and Jesus talks about the salvation of the experience. He said, you know, I'm a shepherd and my sheep know my voice, and none other will they follow. And he talked about the sheep herd. He said, if any man come up any other way but by me, the same is a thief and a robber. So even Jesus was telling his disciples, if you do, salvation can only be one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Anything else, it won't have the same results. And that's what God told Moses. Make sure that you build it according to the pattern that I'm giving you on the mount. Because if you build it any other way, it won't have the same results. Number one, God would not accept their sacrifices. And then number two, just think of, we don't have to do that today. We don't have to do the animal sacrifices. We don't have to make sure that the seven golden candlesticks burn night and day. We don't have to make sure that our natural house has no yeast in it. All those things, we don't have to do those things. But back there they did. And in fact, it was so important, even the making of the anointing oil that went upon Aaron as the high priest and his sons. We covered this here maybe 8 or 9 months ago. There was 5 ingredients. One of them was acacia, olive oil, myrrh, frankincense, and I can't recall the other one right now. But it was made by the apothecary, and it had to be in certain proportions so that it would smell a certain way. In fact, the Lord told Moses, he said, if anybody tries to duplicate the work of the apothecary, which is a perfumer, he's the one that would take all these ingredients together and make perfume. I bet it smelled good, Brother Weiniger, don't you think? The frankincense and the myrrh, that would smell so good. But if anybody tried to duplicate, and this is what Moses anointed Aaron and his sons into the priesthood. In fact, they poured it on the head of Aaron, and you can read it. In fact, let's get that in the book of Psalms. It says, it's like the oil, how good and how precious it is for brethren to dwell together. It's like the anointing oil that was poured on Aaron's head and ran down his beard even to the skirt of his garment. Let's see if we can find that real quick. That holy anointing oil is made from those 5 things. But God told Moses to tell the people, behold, it is like the precious ointment upon the head. That's the ointment that Moses poured on Aaron and his sons, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. God told Moses, he said, tell everybody if they try to duplicate this ointment, this anointing oil, that their soul would be cut off from amongst the people. That's a pretty strong statement, I think. To me, without knowing anything about God, it would almost sound unreasonable for God to say, if anybody tries to duplicate this, that's it, you're done, you're out of here. Just pack your bags and get on out. You won't have any part of the salvation of Israel. To me, that sounds harsh. Does it sound harsh to you? I used to think, there was a lot of things I used to think that was, we had a harsh God, but he was trying to show people down there that there is only one way that will be pleasing to me for you to serve me. You know, they had to do the sacrifices. They had to do everything just right to be acceptable unto God, or God wouldn't accept them. And And also, all these things are pictures and shadows and types showing us the right way for us to live and to make sure that we make the bride. Why, that picture of that ointment, that anointing oil that was poured upon the head of beard, or the head of Aaron, it had five ingredients. But we have five ingredients now that covers our head. You know, we know in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, for God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, for the perfection of the saints, until we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ Jesus. You know, there have been men and even women who come around the body and they start to get this message. I love this message. I'll never forget when I first came around in Texas. I've told this story. I would go to Brother Smith's house almost every night. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. And I developed a love for this message. I still love this message. I don't want to say anything corrupt it. We're seeking for the truth. I love this message and what it's done for us. But there have been men and women, there's none here, so I'm not talking about any, but I've seen it in it was the first general meeting I went to. That's been 31 years ago. That was in Houston, Texas. They were down on Airline Drive. I went there, and I was sitting on one side. The airline church is huge. It's big. And this man came in with a big old long ponytail, and several people was with him, and they all were dressed the same way, and they kind of had strange clothes on. And the person I was with, they said, "Oh, so-and-so, he's back." I said, "Well, who are they?" He said, "Well, he came in, and he got some of this message, but he never stayed around long enough to let him be affected by God, to let this message affect him. So he took some of that message, and he ran with it. And he's changed the message." And that reminds me, do you remember David? There's a lot of people who run, some of them even with a message. But one time David's son Absalom rebelled against him. And David sent his army, led by Ahab, out to get Absalom. And there was a big battle. And Absalom, his son, got killed. And Ahab told Joab, back then, they didn't have cell phones, you know. They didn't even have, Sister Julie, they didn't even have the tin cans with the long string. You ever try that? I never could get that to work. Two tin cans stretched between a piece of twine, and you'd get it'd be easier if you just talk like this. I never could. They had nothing like that. They didn't even have like the Indians where they would, you know, send up smoke signals. They would have to send a runner. So Joab told the runner, he said, "Run and tell David that his son Absalom is dead." So the guy took out running. This other young man, he was just so excited, but he wasn't sure what happened. He saw a commotion, and he knew there was a big battle. In fact, he was related to Joab, and he told Joab, he said, "Let me run, and I want to tell, you know, you get it, when you first come around here, you get excited about this message, you just want to run with it, but it takes years, and you have to settle down, but this young man, he knew something was going on, he just wanted to run, and so, what was Joab going to do? He said, "Go." You know, and so this young man ran and he overtook the other runner. He was just so excited. You know, this is something that it takes our entire life of serving God, and it's a steady pace. But this young man, he just had to get out there, and he passed that other runner up that knew the particulars. So when he got to David, he's huffing and puffing, and David said, "You're a good man. Tell me what's going on." He said, "I don't know what happened. There was a commotion." He didn't. And David said, "Okay, well, just stand over here by me." You know, and the other man, who Saul what had happened. He came up and he told David, and he said, may all your enemies be like that young man, Absalom. And so David knew that he was dead. So, of course, he wept. But I saw this group of men. There was 2,500 people in the airline church, and I was looking at them, and they got up. They were sitting over there, and it was kind of funny because one of the men that we were with, Brother Tucker, some of you met Brother Tucker. He's been here before. He just got up where I was, and he was going down the row out toward the restrooms, and this young man with his long ponytail and everything, not that there's anything, I'm not saying that, but I just want to show something about his spirit. He got up and he started preaching to the platform. And about this time, the person I was with, and I didn't know what was going on, but I found out later, this was one of the men who loved what they heard at first, but all they knew was there was something going on. There was a commotion, and so they ran, but they didn't have a message. This man was talking, but he didn't have a message, and he was correcting all those brethren up there on the platform that had spent their life coming together, finding out the Word of God and what the truth is. And I remember Brother Leninger about that time stood up, and he pointed his finger to him, and he started rebuking them. He told them to sit down. And Brother Tucker, he didn't want to be associated with them, so he went ahead and sat down anyway. He knew he wasn't being talked to, but he went ahead and sat down. And finally, Brother Leninger got hard with them, and he dealt with them in this area that they came in. They partook of our fellowship and our love, and they loved this wonderful spirit. They came in, and they started to learn, but they went out. They went out. They left. In one place, Paul said, they are not of us. If they were of us, they would still be here. But they left. They're not of us. So these young men, they got up and they walked out. It's like that young man that Joab said, just run. There's people that come in and get a little bit of this message. They'll see just a commotion. But they don't have enough. It's this message. I've heard people before say, I love the spirit that y'all have in here, the moves of the Spirit, but I just don't know about that message that you have. Well, what they don't know is it's that message that produces that sweet spirit down inside of us and in the church. In the book of Amos, it said, there's a famine in the land, not for bread, not for water, but for hearing of the word of the Lord. People today really don't have a hunger in their heart to learn more about God. But what they don't realize, the Bible says, and put this up, it says this. Amos 8, thank you. Put this up, it says, let me think what it said here real quick so we can get up there. I will come back to it. But it's this message that produces this wonderful, okay, here's what it is. Find that. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. How shall they hear except there be a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? The things that we allow to come into our life is what produces the faith down in our heart. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. Let's see, we can get that here pretty quick if someone help him to put that up there. I can quote these scriptures, but I'd like you to see it, that it really is there. Did someone find it? Okay. Well, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord, we're looking for the one that comes. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. But how shall they hear except there be a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? Let me look it up real quick here. What is it? Just look up preacher. Okay, there we go. Okay. Thank you. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we stop right there and don't go no further, your faith is developed by the things that you hear. If you don't believe, when I got first saved when I was 16, out in the Pentecostal movement, they still was teaching, and that's been a few years ago. They were still teaching that it was necessary to get the Holy Ghost, that you had to have the Holy Ghost to make it to heaven with the evidence of speaking in tongues. But but I remember it started to change. And then they said, well, it will, if you get the Holy Ghost, it's not necessary, but it is a good gift to have because it will give you power to witness. So the things that are taught in a church, the things that you read here, when the Lord illuminates the Word of God to you, that will develop a faith, which is what we believe. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. That's why in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we call it the faith chapter. If you'll notice, God said that they were faithful because they did what He told them to do. By faith, Abraham got up and went to a land flowing with milk and honey. And by faith, Moses decided to suffer afflictions with the children of God rather than have pleasure of sin for a season. All those things were done because God told them to do something. And when they did it, God counted that as faithful. There was three, maybe four times that God appeared to Abraham. One of them was, he was in the land of Ur, and God said, get up. Brother Weininger, how would you like to have God appear to you and your whole family and say this? Say, get up and get out and go to a land. That way, just go that way. I'm not even going to tell you where it is, but just get up and get out and just start going. Well, where am I going to go? How am I going to sell my business? What about my family? What about my father-in-law? What about my mother-in-law? What about all... But Abraham, he just got up, him and his wife, and he took his nephew, Lot, with him also, his maid servants and his men servants. He didn't even know where he was going or what was going to happen. But God counted him as a man of faith and put him in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews because he just did what God told him to do. A lot of people say, if God would just appear to me, I would do it. You probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't. Look what the children of Israel did. They had a great victory through the 10 plagues in Egypt. And finally, God led him to the Red Sea, and Moses held forth his staff, and the Red Sea parted, and he went across dry ground. And then Pharaoh tried to get across, and all of Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea. And in that same day, Miriam and all the women, they got their tambourines out, and boy, they were shaking them because they saw a mighty deliverance that God did for them. But it wasn't long. They started saying, would to God that we were back in Egypt. So, you know, the Lord can do great mighty things amongst people, but it's going to take more than those great and mighty things to get us to a place we'll be like Abraham. You've got to have a certain kind of a heart, a certain kind of a hunger. You can't serve God just for the loaves and the fishes. How many people left Christ, you know, he took that little boy's lunch. Maybe it was like a happy meal. It wasn't. It was, what, 7 loaves and 5 fishes, just a small little lunch. And he blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to the apostles, and he said, go out and feed them all. And there was 5,000 men there that day besides the women and the children. He didn't want to go away hungry. And every one of them had a big meal. And the apostles brought back 12 baskets full of all that food. And then you would thank anybody who had seen that. Somebody get a little boy's happy meal and just start passing it. I don't know how that would go, Brother Tally. I don't know. Can you imagine Peter or Thomas, poor old doubting Thomas, the one that said, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he said, except I put my finger in the holes in his hand and put my hand in his side, I won't believe. Well, that's a lot of us are like that. And the Jews were like that. That's just human nature to be like that. So what would it have been like to have Christ feed that multitude? And then he'd get up and talk. And then everybody just turned their back on him and walk away. And he looked at his apostles and he said, will you also leave? And they said, where else could we go? For thou only hast the words of life. So, but we can't serve God just for what he can do for us in natural, the loaves and the fishes. I appreciate all those things that God has done for us. There's been people that's been healed, and I've seen them go back into the world. I've seen people get their financial problems met, and they quit serving God. I've heard people say, well, I'm not going to serve God. Our life is, in fact, we were talking over the weekend. We went to up to Missouri to visit our family up there. And there's this one person that's not going to the church now because everything's going good. Why do we need to go to the church? Everything is going good. They actually said that. Not to me, but the people they said it to, they told it to me. I thought, that's the best time to go, to tell God, thank you for his blessings. But those are the kind that only serve God for, what can you do for me right now? But Abraham, we have to have a heart transplant. God has to do something with our heart that we quit living like that, that we finally get to the place where we put him above everything else in our life. That we really learn to love righteousness and hate iniquity. And so Jesus, he fed the 5,000, and they all got up and they walked out. That must have been disheartening. I could imagine if people would turn around and walk away while I'm talking to them, but to have Jesus, can you imagine what a preacher and a teacher he was? And he was giving to them the words of life, and they just get up and walk out. Well, those are the people that are, you know, that follow after the, what was it, someone the other day, I don't remember who it was here in church, maybe it was Brother Tally, talking about the 10 lepers. Was it you, Brother Tally? Who? Brother Daniels. What a miracle. I mean, to have 10 lepers healed, and 9 go their way and only 1 come back and really want to serve God. And no doubt he became one of those 120 that would follow him. We've all had great miracles happen to us and great needs. But you know, you finally get to the place. I had some things happen to me. You all have things happen to me that I'm going to serve God, whether God takes care of that need in my life or not. I've been through enough, Sister Inez. And I'm not going to turn my back now. You know, that I'm not going to quit serving him. I just trust him. God, we've had this message put down in our heart. It's developed a certain type of a faith. It has pointed us in a certain direction. And then all we have to do is stay on that road, Brother Wallace. Don't ever stray from that road. Trust will keep us on the road. But when God appeared unto Abraham and said, get up and get out, of course he probably didn't say it like that. He was probably very nice about it. You know, Abraham, I'm going to cause you to get up and get out of this country and go to a land flowing with milk and honey. With me, he would have had to have said, get up and get out and go that way. All you could do was just get up and head out in that direction. But God counted him as a faithful person because of that. One of the last times that God appeared to Abraham was when Isaac, his son, his only son, a child of promise, God appeared to Abraham and said, I want you to take your son Isaac, who by now was a grown man. He said, take him up onto the mountain, sacrifice him. okay, Lord, I'll do it. What kind of a heart would you have toward God to do that? A trusting heart. All you know was that God told you many years ago to get up and get out of Ur and take off in that direction. Abraham didn't know he was going to end up down in Egypt with Sarah, his wife, living with the king of another nation. He didn't know that was going to happen. He had to trust God. When God put a love for this way and for him down in your heart, you never knew what your life was going to entail. Years ago, when I found the body, Sister Julie, I had no idea. I had no idea I'd ever be living here with you wonderful people down in Little Rock. When I was in California, if you'd have asked me, where are you going to live when you're 60? Last place I would have said was Arkansas. I had no idea. But God started me on the road, and I've had to trust him. Not that there's any, I love this place. I've told my wife many times and other people, I said, I wish we could have been born here. The people in this part of the country are just so good, you know. I wish we could have been born here, been a greater part of the church when it was being developed. We can now, thankfully, there, but God started us on a journey. I had no idea I would go to Texas. And then I had, in fact, when I was 16, I was going to an Assembly of God church, and the pastor that I kind of fell in love with, he hurt me later, my whole family, but he was from Missouri, and he was from Springfield, Missouri. And I told my mom and dad many times, I said, you couldn't pay me enough money to move to Missouri. Do you hear how they talk? But we moved to Texas. We ended up in Missouri for, how long were we there, Laura? 23 years? Yeah, well, I was at Springfield Schools for 22 and a half years, so it was almost right at 23 years, I guess, or something like that. Yeah. We've had a lot of things happen to us on this long road, but all we know was God said, take off, get out of this city. You know what that city was? That city was false religion. That city was Babylon. And he said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. We've been wandering that direction for the last 31 years, Brother Phil. And we're getting closer and closer. I feel like God led us to the body of Christ. He's restoring his church. But God told Abram, he said, take your son up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Abraham, he loved God and he trusted God. And he was going to, he'd even raised a dagger. And God said, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, Abraham, he said, put that down. He said, now I know. Wouldn't you like to have God tell that to you? Now I know that you will serve me and that you will trust me. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say? All these things that come into our life when we first start serving God, when we start off in the road, when God points us in the right direction, when we hit a snag in the road, maybe sometimes we veer off the road for a little bit, God, he'll take care of us if we just trust him. Some of the things that happened in my life, I never would have wanted to have happened, but they've done something for me. And I've never wanted to not follow God. I still trust him. I don't know. We sing that song, many things about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. Is that how you feel about God? Once he puts your feet on this path, you've got to trust him for whatever comes your way. It's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were small children, and they were going to a rabbinical school, and they were taught the Ten Commandments, and they were taught the things that you needed to do to please God, that he would shine his countenance upon you, that he would bless you. And one of those sayings was learning the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. He said this. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me." You can't fall down and worship any other gods. And that faith was developed in them through the things that they were taught as little children. And that became a part of their character. When you let something like that affect you, it will cause you to grow. So when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with Daniel were taken into captivity by the Babylonian army, and they were brought into the court of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar saw that these four boys, because back then they were just young boys, probably no older than these boys that Brother Mark is teaching in there. They were set aside to become princes and rulers of their. But the whole time, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they never forgot what they had been taught. That there's only, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God." And they knew that they could never bow down and they could worship something else. That is the faith I'm talking about that comes by hearing. That becomes a principle in your life and it becomes a part of your character. You can't even make yourself. Finally, this Word of God, the pure, unadulterated Word of God, preached by men with an anointing on them, men like Brother Smith and these other great men of God, they'll take these principles and they'll start working on it, and it will finally get into your heart and it will start to produce fruit, and it finally becomes a part of your nature and your character. That's why we're to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Let that, and then have the same mind. Let that mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they finally went through that training. God blessed them. They became rulers in the land of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, he had this golden statue built out on the plains. And Nebuchadnezzar assembled all the leaders and the rulers and the army and all the great princes of Babylon. And he said, "When you hear the sound of the harp." In fact, in Daniel, the fourth chapter? Just turn. What is it? Daniel 3. Okay, it says that at what time, this is Nebuchadnezzar making a proclamation to everyone there, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up, and whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Brother, that's right where your faith meets the road. You know, that is where you better have something down inside. You better have some weight down inside, or you're going to get blown right off this road. When God would have told Abraham, "I want you to take your son up on top of Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice it," Abraham could have said, "I'm out of here. That's it. We ain't doing this no more." Abraham had something down inside of him. And if you would have been there, and even your faith had become a part of you, that was no longer a principle, but it became, see the difference between a law and your character. A law says, "You can't touch this. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And here's the consequences." But when something becomes a part of your nature, you're not under the law anymore. There's no more law for there because it's a part of your nature. I don't care how hard. Of course, you can force me. You can grab me and you can make me do it. But I would never, never, ever, never, ever, never, ever put my hand in a hot barbecue. My wife's not worried about it. My mama told me when I was growing up, "Don't touch that, Roy. That's hot." I touched it one time. I found out what hot was. I've been burnt. I'm a plumber. I've been burnt before. It's no fun. Trust me. Don't burn yourself. You know, I like the barbecue. Now, if that was a law, then I could break that law. I could look around. Well, the Lord's not looking. Here we go. Just put your hand right in the fire. But my nature says, I know the consequences. I know that that's going to burn and it's going to hurt. So why would I want to do that to myself? You know? That's how Abraham was. Walking in the road, in the path that God had set him on, wasn't even debatable anymore. Abraham didn't have an argument. Well, God, you know, I've only got one son, and that other one that you gave me, look at him. What was his name? Someone help me. Ishmael. Look at Ishmael. Look how he turned out. You're wanting me to go up and sacrifice my son in this. Ishmael, he'll be my... Surely, let's reason this together, Lord. Let's sit down and reason. That wasn't even part of his character. He just said, okay, Lord. He told Isaac, he said, gather up some sticks. Gather up some sticks and let's take off walking, boy. We're going to the top of the hill. That's just part of his character. It's not a law anymore. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king said that, he said, when you hear the music, if you don't fall down and you worship me, you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace alive. Anybody there would have broke out in a cold sweat. You'd have to go, oh. But God had put something down inside of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was no, King, can we reason with you about this? Can you do something? Because look what it says. Whoops. No, go back to where you were. Go back. We weren't done yet. Go back to the 15th. Go back to Daniel 3, verse 15. Yeah, go back one scripture. There we go. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time, are y'all ready, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are y'all ready? When you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, everything will be good for you, it'll be well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? What a statement to make. That was Nebuchadnezzar saying, I'm going to have my way. Now go to the next verse, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, they didn't try to, you know, they didn't fall down on their hands and their knees. These men had that character planted in them by the word of God, and it produced a strength. Answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. He said, we're very careful to answer thee in this matter. Go to 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Right there he said, king, he said, you just said that who can deliver you out of my hands? Can God do that? And they just said, God is able to deliver us, king. And then go to verse 18. But if not, that's what I like. I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and every boy and every girl, young and old, should know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is not a type. This is not a shadow. This really did happen to those three ones. And I'm so thankful that God delivered them. But the real meaning of this, the real what I get out of it is this right here. Because they just got done saying, our God's able to deliver us, king, out of your hand. But they said, but if not. See, their faith said, their faith that had been put down inside of them as a little child that they grew up with, that thou shalt serve the Lord thy God only, and him shall thy, you, and him only shall you serve. And you can't fall down and worship anyone else but the one true God. That was their faith. And so when it came time for this, they didn't. Sometimes you don't even have time to debate it with yourself. You either are or you aren't. But the real story is, they said, God's able to deliver us. Their faith pointed them in the right direction. But they said, but if not, they didn't know if God was going to keep them from, they didn't want to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Would you want to be thrown into the fiery furnace? I wouldn't. I'd be scared to death. But like them, they said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That made the king really, really mad. This is trust, what they said there. They didn't know what was going to happen. Sister Inez, sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. I've got a problem. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm trusting God. You know, there's people in this room that they've trusted God, and God's helped them. God has delivered them. Some people are still having to trust God for things that they're going through. Our life is controlled by our trust in God. He points us in that right direction. He said, Brother Fisher, get up and get out of false religion. You were born in this church. Let me just say, Brother Durham, get up and get out of here and go that way. Right there. You see the way I'm pointing? I want you to go that way. Yes, Lord, I see it. I never knew what I was going to run into on that road. All I know was He told me to take off running that way, and I've been running ever since. And I'm still having to trust God. We don't know what we're going to run into. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Go one more down. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. You know, sometimes our stand for the Lord, it's going to infuriate the people around us, our co-workers, our family. I remember, I love my mom and dad. My mom has been gone for 4 or 5 years. But when we first started in the body, they would drive out all the way from California. He was still working all the way to Texas, and they'd be there a week. And inevitably, all the time, they would end up being there the same night that we were fixing to go to church. I don't know how they did that. Surely it wasn't planned. But I would let them know. I'd say, Dad, you know, we're going to church tonight. You're welcome. I want you to come. But we'll be gone 2 or 3 hours, so we want you to come. But if not, we'll be back real quick. I've heard this from other people. There's people I've known. Their family would find out that they lived local. They lived close. Nobody here. I'm not talking about anybody here. This is people I knew from over there in another state. Nobody here has that problem. But their family would cause them to miss church for any type of a reason. Any type of a reason at all. But I want this to be the focus of my life. I want this to be the main thing, because I found out all it would have taken is one time from Abraham to say, Lord, let's sit down and let's reason about this. You told me to go this way, I'm going that way, but I was never expecting this. I don't know if I can do that. That's too hard. I'm going to take a direction and go that way. Our whole walk in God is built upon trust, not knowing what tomorrow might bring. Jesus said, take no thought for the morrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. All we can do is trust God. We don't even know how things are going to turn out. I do feel like God can let us know. I do feel like that we can pray enough that we can get God's answer. That problem I had when I was in the hospital, the Lord told me, He said, don't worry, son, I got your back. The Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me one time. Abraham got spoken to 4 times. I'm trying to catch up. But I said, okay, I don't know how, what does that mean? He's got my back. I don't know how things are going to turn out. I don't know if I'm going to have any more problems. All I know is the Lord spoke to me and said, don't worry, son, I got your back. You just have to trust God. But then put that back up there on the screen. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed. How would you like to have the king change his visage? change again Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat up the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And then go down to the next one. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. See, this is what I'm saying. Things are going to come into your life that's going to cause you problems. It's going to assail you. Could be your family. Could be friends. Could be health. It could be finances. But you got to go back to what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. Our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, I love that, Sister Julie, but if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down and serve you. We're not going to bow down and worship you. We're going to worship our living God. Then those men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They still didn't know if they were going to burn up. They didn't know. God didn't tell them, don't worry. I'm going to throw you in there, but it ain't going to burn you up. They thought, this is it. We're dead. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, God's finally going to help us to get to a place where all those things that are binding us, this causing us so many problems, they're going to be burned up in our life. Now, these were actual men. I'm talking about situations. God can take those situations that you're in your life, and if you'll put your trust in him, if you'll keep on the right road, those things that so do easily beset us and hinder us, God will burn those things up until finally Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they came out of the fiery furnace, not even the smell of fire or judgment. We're all going to have to go through fire. That's how we're going to be purified. But when we come through the other side, there'll be no smell of judgment on us. No smell of smoke on us. What a wonderful God that we serve today to do that for us. He's a God that loves us. He cares for us. But that's a wonderful story. That's what I get out of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is trusting in the Lord. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That's hard to do. If I could just figure it out. It's like that people I was telling you about in Republic that said, we're not going to go to church because everything's going good right now. Well, they've got that done figured out. You know, we don't need God right now because every time we get around God, he puts pressure on us to change. Our life is going good right now, so we don't want that pressure. If we get in trouble again, then Lord, yeah, we want your help. But right now, just stand over there. I don't want a spirit like that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. That's hard to do. In all your ways. And he shall direct your path. That's great. That's faith. That's trust. I love that about the Lord. Anyway, I could talk a long time about this. But we've already... Did anyone have anything you wanted to say? I don't want to be like that. Did you hear about the Baptist minister? I'm just picking on Baptists because I used to go to a Baptist church and they would always have, and I think we need altar calls. I love Baptist people. My great aunt and my great uncle, wonderful Baptist, wonderful people. But I just happen to pick on them because, like a lot of other ones, that they'll always have altar calls. So this Baptist minister, he went down to the local YMCA, and he said, I need a job. He said, well, we're going to give you a job as a lifeguard. And he said, I'll take it. So they put him up on this stool. It didn't work out very good. Because he's going, yes, I see that hand. Yes, yes, thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Yes, thank you. You get it? Lifeguard. Okay. I'll explain it to you later. You know, people drowning and raising their hand said, yes, thank you. I see that hand. Yes, thank you. Okay. all right. Sister Tally just now got it. Yes, thank you. I see that hand. Yes, thank you. I see that hand right over there. The life card. Okay. Anyway, let's pray. You're saying, Brother Durham, don't quit your job as a plumber. Let's pray for, let's continue to pray and to reach out for to the Wilson family. God would comfort them and help them. And we aren't going to pray again, but just keep all these prayer requests forefront, and we'll pray for them until we come back Saturday night. Yes, Brother Wallace. Your household. All right, let's pray this week for Brother Wallace's household, that God would help him. Let's really pray for Sister Inez. God would help her. Yes, Sister Cindy. All right, we miss him, don't we? Let's pray that God would get him back here quick. All right, let's thank the Lord for this day. Let's ask the Lord to go with us. Thank you, Lord, that you're a wonderful, loving, kind God, that you've done all these wonderful things for us, Lord. We want to bring all these prayer requests, Lord. We've already spoken them and called them by name, Lord, up before your throne, asking for your help. Watch over Brother Smith, God. Go with us this week, Lord. Lead us, guide us, and direct us in thy ways, Lord, and make straight our paths. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord.